The sound guys just told us we're the second best action pad on here. Thanks a lot, mate. And it's nice to be back. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Hi.
I hope you had a good interval. Anyway, we drive around the land. We read newspapers. And a bit concerned about what's happened to the royal family. Princess Diana, in a French newspaper, confessed that she felt, after the James Hewitt affair, she was like the worst prostitute in the world. Worst prostitute in the world. And she's right about that, because a bloke shagged her and he got paid £3 million, that's the wrong way around.
Disobeying the first rule of prostitution there.
Yeah.
She didn't realise. But I can't believe the bloke got £3 million and he got to shag Princess Diana. Now, that doesn't seem very fair to me. That's like having your cake and having it smeared all over your genitals and licked off, really, isn't it? £3 million to shag Princess Diana. What I want to know is how much to get for shagging the Queen Mother. And for that kind of odds, I'm prepared to give it a go, I tell you. It's like the national lottery with less people taking part, let's face it, isn't it? But remember, guys, you've got to be in it to win it, and that's the important thing. In it to win it.
I saw a picture of the Queen Mother in a magazine of the weekend. She's over 90 years old now, but she's looking very well. Mind you, you'd probably look very well if you'd never done a decent day's work in your life. Hey! And if all you'd ever had to eat was swans.
That's true.
No laughs, but some applause for that one. Which is good.
You have to remember, these are the princes and princesses of their lands, Stephen.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
So they're angered. They're very royalist here in Wales. They love the English royal family. Oh, yes. Wankers! Right, Albert, James Hewitt could have been me. I came this close to being a James Hewitt, not in a literal sense, but I very nearly got off with Princess Diana. This is a true story, which means it doesn't have to be funny. So, because it's true and educational. I was very lucky to be at the Wimbledon's ladies' finals this year, watching rather than playing before your razor-sharp wit comes out with that one. But I was very lucky to have seats very near to the royal box, or to give her official title, the Princess of Wales. And I was during one of the breaks, I was looking over at her and that little dwarf bloke who always hangs around with, Prince William, that's the one, from Different Strokes, don't you remember?
Fantasy Island.
He's done a lot of work. He's a lot of work.
Ewok Adventures.
Little suit. Nightmare Before Christmas season as well, as a cartoon. And I was looking over to see what they looked like because I didn't know, obviously. And while I was looking, Princess Diana must have felt my manly, steely gaze. But that's not a joke. Oh, very good, mate. Well, yes, it is, he says. Clever, neat. They didn't do irony to school there. But clever of him to help me out there with that joke, just in case anyone didn't get it. Yes, it is a joke, okay? She must have felt my manly, steely gaze penetrating the back of her head, because she turned around, this is absolutely true, gets less funny from here, that's absolutely true, she turned around, looked me right in the face. Now, I don't know what the exact protocol is for such a situation, so what I decided to do was to pull a stupid face. Like that, and she laughed, which was good, and then gave me one of those really sexy, through-the-fringe Princess Diana looks. So I thought, well, I'm in. Obviously, she's single now. Anyone's up for it, I tell you. But I didn't manage to get in touch with her. So she is here tonight, doing her royal duties in Wales, watching comedy. Let's go out for a pizza afterwards. Pizza Express, none of your tap. I'll be paying. They like it when you flash the cash around, these girls, I tell you. And We'll see how we go. And if I do have sex with you, I'm not trying to be presumptuous, Princess Diana, if you are here, I probably won't sell the story unless I'm offered a lot of money.
I don't think it's fair to have a go at the royal family at the moment. We're having a lot of trouble. Charles and I split up there. Andy and Fergie finished off. The real question for me in those situations is, who's going to get custody of the children? Well, I think, seeing as we've paid for them, perhaps they could be shared out around the country on a kind of rota system. A bit like the school gerbil. With a number of similar uses if you have got a rolled up cardboard tube and some cocaine.
Bands of Bondage and
Richard Gere over there.
Yeah. Oh yes. Now you've started been doing the shit jokes. So good, right.
And we are one all.
One all. So you can do the shittiest joke later on. I think it's the last one. But we've been watching television, as we promised, and it is good to see my third favourite television programme of all time back on the screens. That's my third favourite, obviously, after This World and Saved by the Bell, which clearly unbeatable. But of course, my third favourite show is Supermarket Sweep. Oh, yeah. So sad, aren't they, students?
material that would work nowhere else in the world. Except for in a student bar.
But it's good that Dale Winton's getting you all up here early in the morning. Hopefully not in any other sense. But, I love it. But the really sad, I watch it every day as well, let's face it. And the really sad thing is that I've found when I am at the checkout of my local supermarket and I hear the beep, now I have started imagining the fun I might be having on Supermarket Sweep there.
Luckily, that doesn't take very long, though.
It doesn't take long, but it's for a moment now.
The truth about Dale Winton that a lot of people don't know is that he isn't actually a game show host. He is, in reality, a supermarket manager. And that supermarket is his own supermarket. And out of the goodness of his heart, every day, for half an hour, he opens it up to educationally subnormal people and lets them run around the arse for a bit. And that money, that's his own money that he hides for them.
That's why he hides it so well. Yeah. I actually really love the clues. I love the clues for that final game. I am made of tomato, and I am a soup. Rearrange the words soup and tomato, and you'll get tuna mayonnaise, tuna garlic bread. Sounds right, but it isn't. No, it's tomato soup. But luckily I've hidden over there the tomato soup in the bathroom product, so you weren't going to get it anyway. Not having you get my money. Oh, no. Fourth favourite programme at the moment is, of course, Biker Grove. Yeah! Just where's Spuggy gone? That's what I want to know. I'm hoping, you know, we're going to get onto telly sometime, and hopefully because of that, we'll meet some of the girls from Biker Grove.
But Rich, those girls are 13 years old.
Yeah.
Somebody else doing your punchline over there. It's nice that we don't actually have to lower ourselves to do it ourselves, though.
What happened to that girl who died? I missed that episode. How did she die? That little. Anyone know? No. Did she? How come? That was stupid, wasn't it? I'm glad it's given. There was some water and she put a plug in the water. That was stupid because electricity and water. A little message there from Biker Grove. It's educational as well.
They don't know.
As sort of paedophilic nightmare there. But, okay. Oh. I like the little blokes in it as well. The little Dale and everyone, those little kids who run around. They always do the sort of, there's the serious bit like girls being electrocuted, which is sad. But then you get those little blokes running around sort of doing funny stuff. They're like the mechanicals from
Shakespeare's
place. No, no one's studying Shakespeare. We call them the mechanicals anyway, and it makes us laugh.
Every day.
Shall we move on to our least favourite, because they're sort of the comic relief in Biker Grove. And should we move on to our least favourite show of all time?
Yeah, our least favourite show at the moment is it's Scavengers.
Oh dear.
But it is nice to come here and see what it's filmed, which is good.
Do you like, what's his name?
Leslie.
John Leslie. Do you like John Leslie, girls? No, he's a cunt, isn't he? He's a cunt. He is. Really, he is. I mean, he is. We've heard stories about him as well. He's also the stupidest man in Britain as well, of course, as proven by the Sun's editorial, because, of course, he finished with Catherine Zeta-Jones, didn't he? And never mind her personality, how they were going on. That, for me, makes him the stupidest man in Britain. Oh, yes.
Didn't really work out as well, because when he was in Scavengers, he's supposed to be like a hard space mercenary from the future.
Rather than the bloke off Blue Peter, who is Scotch. I'm sure he'd appreciate you calling him Scotch. Scotch. Someone said he's Scotch. I know he's Scottish, that's my point, exactly. It's sort of offensive to call Scottish people Scotch. But he is Scotch. Carry on.
And he's there, and he's got like, there's like, there'd be like people, the contestants, running around with their bags of mercenary stuff, and they drop them. And John Leslie would be going, you idiot, trying to be like his hard character. You've dropped that space future bag of space stuff. You idiot. You dropped that. Drop the mercenary stuff, you.
Blake should have turned around and gone, well, at least I'm fucking finished with Catherine Zeta-Jones, mate. You twat. I think that would have been just as fair. Just a bit of personal invective there.
Another thing we've been doing as we ride around is reading books. Now, I know you're students, but you might want to give it a go. And
a book I've been reading, oh yes, is John McCarthy, Jill Morell's Some Other Rainbow.
And I've been reading An Evil Cradling by Brian Keenan.
They're both very good books, actually. Do read them. They've got very similar plots. But it doesn't really matter because they're written in such different styles. You can read them both. It's like two completely different perspectives on the same experience. We've found some examples of that, completely different. See, we've got some little clips. Do laugh if you like.
Two different perspectives on the same experience. First extract from Brian Keenan's Hostage Diary. Brian Keenan. Another faceless day. The darkness lifts and the routine again grinds into being with its crushing regularity. The food plate slides in. Dry bread, dirty water. Even the very act of nourishment itself has become a form of torture.
John McCarthy, the very same day. Breakfast with Brian again! He seemed cross about something. Grumpy pants. Stale crust again. What I wouldn't give for Nanny's eggy bread. Still, mustn't grumble. It is nice to try the cuisine of a different culture. When in Rome, as Mr. Kingsley Horse used to say at boarding school.
Second extract from Brian Keenan. My family's faces have faded from my memory. Sometimes for seconds they appear in sharp focus, and then they're gone again. I wonder if I'll recognise my sisters if I ever see them again. Will they recognise me? These bastards have stolen my present and my future, and now they're stealing my past.
John McCarthy. Brian was a bit tetchy again today. I told him to keep his pecker up. And he looked at me as if I was a nutty person. It's almost as if he doesn't like being chained to a wall in a tiny space with me. I'm trying to make the most of it. It's not half as bad as the places I had to sleep when I was backpacking round Europe in my year off. That youth hostel in Florence. Oh, hum. I can cheer myself up by thinking of Jill and what she's been up to. I wonder if she's bought that new hat she was talking about. She's probably going to give me a good telling off when I get back. Tea will be ruined. Ha 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 ha.
Last extract from Brian Keenan. Today the guards showed us pictures of their kids. One moment they attempt to engage us as other humans with human emotions and human needs. The next they deny us our most basic human rights and beat us like dogs. To call these men animals gives them the dignity they don't deserve.
John McCarthy. I think Brian is very hard on the guards. In many ways, their predicament is much worse than ours. It can't be much fun guarding a grumpy man like Brian. I remember when I was a prefect at boarding school, the responsibility was almost too much to bear. John McCarthy and Brian Keenan, they're two very different books.
That's the better one, though.
That is, but it's very clever, isn't it, to stand up here in our shirts, taking the piss, satirising two blokes who spent 5 years locked in a hole in the ground.
Yeah, they won't be doing that again.
No. That's the power of satire demonstrated here. More effectively than Rory Bremner could ever do, I believe. But you'll notice how these are marketed in very different ways, these books. This is like sort of airport romance. There were some R's from the girls there, like
Golden Boss.
Ooh, lovely little airport romance.
Golden Boss cover.
Ooh.
Nice sort of
looking into
filter
the future
on there. Whereas this one's marketed as fiction literature rankings. I mean, it's got like a impressionistic piece of art on the front of like a cow there and of Brian Keenan sort of naked and tied up. And with a really huge cock in it as well. As if like that was given in for him to check. And he went, I like the cow and stuff. Could you just do that like longer there? Oh, that'd be good.
It's good to see, yeah. It's a good book if you like, you know, John McCarthy's chapter is actually really good, despite our cruel piss take. For every one of those you have to read one by Jill Morell, which is good if you want to know what it's like being a sort of slony woman living in London in the late 1980s. Not quite so good shopping and stuff. Doesn't tell you the one thing you really want to know, which is who was she shagging while John was away? And in what positions, and some photographs in addition to, for me, please. Anyway, now it's time for our second natural break, so will you please welcome back your countryman, the Treforest Gump, Peter Fainham. Here it comes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's time for another recipe now. And we all know, don't we, how exciting it is to order a delivery pizza. Because you actually get to speak to somebody. My trouble is, though, I haven't got a phone. I mean, I've tried writing, but it's not the same, really, is it? So this is my exciting recipe for instant budget delivery pizza for when you haven't got a phone. For this, you need a piece of white bread and some red sauce, which you pour on the bread like that. Then you smear it on. I'm using my hand for that. Now you're going to just get rid of that down there. And then some cheese topping. I'm using what's it? But then you want olives, don't you? I'm using claret for that. But then you want somebody to order the pizza for you. So get a doll. And then what you do is hand her the pizza. Then after 45 minutes, take it off and give her a penny and say thank you. The only thing is you do have to do it within 45 minutes. Otherwise, you have to make yourself a free garlic bread for the doll to give you as well. So do remember that. Okay, time for my next idea. Another personal grooming hint here. Which is what to do. You know what it's like when you sleep in your clothes and people keep coming up to you and saying, that shirt looks like you slept in it last night. Put a jumper over the shirt. Obviously, it's best not to sleep in the jumper as well. That'll just spoil things. Another solution to something? What to do if you're absolutely terrified of worms? Don't think of worms. Think of something that doesn't look like a worm. Like a cottage. Obviously, it's best not to think of a long, thin, brown cottage that lives under the ground and hasn't got any eyes. It has like a posterior and anterior end. And is a worm. I always forget to do that. I always think, oh, stupid, isn't it? I look at a worm at the same time as well. Twat. Anyway, time for my next recipe, and this is my favourite one of all. This one is a lovely dessert, this. And for this, you need a digestive biscuit and some red jam. And you put the red jam again on the biscuit like that. Then you need some milk, but not ordinary milk. What you do is you get a pint of milk and put it in your natural fridge plastic bag thing for about 2 or 3 months. Then pour it on the top like that. 3 months cheesecake. Very nice.
What?
Pardon?
She said twat.
Mm. Oh, I've never seen anyone sadder than me. That is the idea. I'm a twat.
He didn't get it.
Neither do I. We're about as sad as each other, I think. Maybe we can go and play with our winkies together later. Like that. All right, time for my last idea. And this is an idea I had on bonfire night. And this is a really good thing, this. It's because like, I was sitting in my bedsit on bonfire night, having a bit of a rubbish time, sort of with a box of matches, sort of lighting them and going, woo. So this is my idea for easy fireworks. This is a lawn sprinkler that I found on a wall. What you do is get a lawn sprinkler, nail it to the wall of your bedsit, then get the hose, but don't connect it to the water. connected to the gas. Instant Catherine wheels. Thank you.
See you later.
Well done, Pete. Very good. Thanks a lot. You are a twat, you know.
Just wanted to say that after 3 months working with him. Okay, the last thing we're looking at is the subject of weight and weight loss.
I don't know why we're doing this, but apparently it might be interesting to some people. I actually have put on 2.5 stone in the last 6 months for some reason. I have.
It's good to have a hobby though, Rich.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? But I can't understand how it's happened. Because I drink up to 5 litres of Diet Coke a day. You know, you could have some kind of effect.
It's weird how the only people you ever see drinking Diet Coke are really fat people, personally.
No. So I am not fat. No. I'm not. I am big boned. That's what I am.
Yeah, and you'll notice with Rich, the biggest bone he's got is this large curved bone at the front here.
Like a shell, it is. I go in and eat some lettuce, come out after winter, it's great. But this is actually due to my metabolism, because some people can eat whatever they want, doesn't affect them at all, right? I just literally have to eat one tiny little piece of chocolate. Tiny little piece of chocolate. Then maybe 6 pints of lager, a pizza and chips, and a curry on the way home, and the weight just piles on. I can't understand it. Basically, I am bulimic. It's just I haven't quite mastered the throwing up part yet. That's all.
It's a shame because it's the throwing up part of bulimia that makes it different to just eating a lot, isn't it, really?
Some people would argue that, yeah. Others wouldn't. But we actually have some diets for you if you need to lose a little bit of weight. Some diets you might like to try. First up is the Cambridge diet. The Cambridge diet. This involves cycling around in a long scarf. Being rude and obnoxious to ordinary, decent local people. You don't lose any weight on this, but it does entitle you to a part in any film by Kenneth Branagh. So, that's good.
Here's one you might like to try. This is something I did when I was a student. Make sure that your basic outgoings on, accommodation, travel, stationery, etc., far exceed what you're actually earning, right? And then have your bank manager, Mr. T.R. Johnson of Barclays Bank Wandsworth, close down your account and take back your cash point card so you can't actually get any money to buy food. And you'll find you can lose a lot of weight in that way. Fall off.
Or you could try the generally real, this diet does exist, there's a book about this diet, it's called the Eat More, Weigh Less diet. This one doesn't work though. If you eat more, you weigh more, that's the way it works. I think it works on the principle if you eat so much, you'll get so fat, you go all the way around past infinity and come out thin again. I believe it's based on an old episode of Star Trek, the original Star Trek, the fat parallax from Mars. I can't remember what it is, but something like that.
Another one you want to have a go at, right, this is something I've been doing this week, which is to get gastroenteritis while you're doing student gigs. And then shit your pants in places like Cheltenham College of Further Education. And then you have to hide the pants in the college somewhere. And if you keep doing that at universities and stuff around the country, you lose weight, see. So that's a diet.
That's quite a good one, yeah.
And I've been doing that.
It's quite good unless you have to share a car with the bloke who's doing it. And it's not quite so good. And finally, this is the ultimate diet. You're going to enjoy this one. It works as well. And that is, this diet is to masturbate furiously as much as you can, as often as you can. It's not only great fun, this diet. Oh, no, it's good exercise. Look at that forearm there. Look at that.
And the other one.
There one, yeah. Less developed on this side, but you've got to keep this undeveloped, guys, because then it's like someone else is doing it, little tickly. It is mainly... It's mainly for boys, this diet, but girls can join in, but don't swallow, girls, a lot of calories in there, so
yeah. It's good for your skin, though.
Good for your skin, and actually I don't know how, but I actually have diet spunk, I don't know how it's happening, so you're alright with me, and it's like the food generator on Star Trek The Next Generation as well, good for Star Trek. You just say what you want it to come out tasting like, and out it comes, the tasting of that. Oh, grey, hot, like that, anything you want. Slight malfunction, just every now and again, very occasionally. But anyway, the reason this diet works is that every time you spunk up, I'm sorry to use this language in front of girls, like you're obviously so refined, but every time Every time you spunk up, oh, sorry, I did it again.
You're in a logical trap, move on.
I am, because every time you spunk up, two and a half fluid ounces of spermatozoon. Now, I'm no mathematician, but it would seem to me you'd only have to masturbate a mere 300 times in a month, which is cutting down if anything, isn't it, lads? And you would lose two... Thank you.
The wankers giving themselves...
And you would lose 2 whole stone in weight in 1 month. And that's pretty good for me.
Rich, there's a logical flaw in that diet, right?
I don't know.
There is. It's based on the false assumption that all the extra weight in your body... is contained in your testicles in the form of sperm, isn't it? And I would challenge that assumption.
Well, it certainly feels like it, doesn't it, guys?
Plus, I can't see it catching on a morning television that way, Mr. Motivator.
Oh, I think so. Mr. Masturbator, simple change of name. I've already got Gabby Rosin on Channel 4, which is a pretty good start to my regime.
We'll give him a genuine washing challenge for the Raglan adverts as well.
And it would explain all his big muscles when he never does any proper exercise as well.
And the glasses.
The glasses would be explained there as well. Any diet tips, Pete, before we can leave that very intellectual stuff?
Yeah, really good thing is just to jump up and down like that.
Yeah.
Then you weigh less half the time.
That's true. That is true. Good to have something witty to end on. And, right, well, that's the end of the joke funnies, but now it's time for the, as promised, game show with the beer prizes.
Yeah.
We haven't dropped them all yet.
So we call this part of the show University Challenge, right? And it's where we challenge people at university to see if you know fuck all at all about what's going on in the world.
And, of course, you don't.
So we get to keep the stuff, usually, which is good. So can we have the house lights up at this point?
Let's explain the prizes. We've got what prizes have we got? We've got lots of beer, we've got some Newcastle Brown, and some Hofmeister Follow the Bear beer, which I wasn't aware still existed, that we bought ourselves, but very cheaply. And we also have some Newcastle Brown Ale t-shirts. Oh, you all look so beautiful now. And that bloke over there who listens to everything we do wants one of those. Oh, no, that's him. It wasn't him. All right, okay. And we've also got, what else have we got? The Newcastle Brown. You can't drink the Newcastle Brown Ale t-shirts, but you find if you probably drink a crate of it, it'll become soaked in Newcastle Brown. You can suck it if you run out at the end. We've got some tapes that our sponsor, the NME.
The NME gave us this tape. We've got loads of copies of this. This is a compilation album recorded in 1989 of songs from Elvis films. Wait.
It's better. It gets better.
Covered by artists that were popular in 1989.
Such as?
This includes contributions from Tanita Tikaram.
Oh, yes.
The Blow Monkeys.
Oh, I do like them.
Buzzbox on here.
Buzzbox.
And a favourite of mine from 1989, which is the Reggae Philharmonic Orchestra.
Oh, yes. They were very successful, weren't they, back in 90s.
And we've also got one good thing, which is a compilation album of Creation Records thing.
And your kind organiser, Ent Manager, has also given us some Red Moses, some Stella Artois key rings, and some antlers, and some ashtrays, which is good of him. I mean, round of applause. Yeah, come on, he's got a lot of hard work in this year. Yeah! Woo! What a bloke.
Here's how this works.
This is how the competition works. We'll give you a series of statements that are true or false. You have to stand up first. Everyone stand up. Stand up, now, and you. Stand. Dogs stood up as well, good. The dog's in it. Here we go. You've got to be in it to win it. Here we go. Oh God, it's going to attack me. I've taken the piss out of a dog. That was a stupid thing to do. Their canine teeth. We'll give you a series of statements that may be true or false. If you think the statements are true, we want you to put your hands on your head. If you think the statements are false, we want you to put your hands on your bottom. The seat of all falsehood there. And your own bottom, if you would, please, for this evening. Okay, so you all understand that? It's fairly simple, isn't it? If you get it wrong, you have to sit down. We whittle you down. There's an exciting end game. Someone's going to win all these exciting prizes. So, first statement, truth or false? Stuart Lee.
First statement, truth or false, is news-based. 2 weeks ago, Jeffrey Dahmer, the Milwaukee cannibal murderer, was sadly himself murdered in his prison. Now,
that's not
a statement, right? He was inspired to commit his crimes principally by two things. One, guilt about his homosexuality caused by reading the Old Testament. and two of George Lucas's Star Wars films.
True or false?
True or false?
You decide. Students at the Glam College.
True or false?
Gary Glitter came to this college, you know?
I know.
University of Glam he came to. Hooray!
Jeffrey Dahmer inspired by Old Testament and Star Wars. True or false?
On your bottom, please. There we go. No, either way. That wasn't a clue.
True or false? Well, that's true.
It is true.
Sit down.
Sit down, falsehood people. That's whittled you. My goodness. And I think that once again we prove, you know, don't you study that here. Is anyone still in at the back? If you're still in at the back, come forward a bit so we can see if you've come into this area. Because there aren't very many of you. I think everyone here may already have won a Stella Artois key fob.
But let's pass them out to what they have already won each is a red nose.
Definitely a red nose you've got here. It's interesting how there's so many people at the back who we couldn't see who are still in it, isn't it? Almost if they cheat, but of course they didn't cheat. Obviously not. Anyone who really wants one. You can sort of play hilarious jokes on your friends with them. Right,
the things that are given out, like for charity, for comedy, we're giving away ourselves as free gifts.
It's charity here this evening. And a second statement, truth or false, for the people still in it. If you're still in it, put a red nose on your nose. Christopher Biggins, the star of Rent-A-Ghost, and of course the unforgettable On Safari. Unforgettable. He was recently arrested for shoplifting from a supermarket a packet of biscuits. True or false? Go. Make your decision. Mr. Red Nose, man. Make good. That's no good. That doesn't mean anything. That means I don't know. True or false? What are you going for? So tell me, what's your answer? What's your answer? It is false. So sit down, true fools. Bad luck. Who's still in it? You said false. No, come on. All right, if you're still in it, come up here.
Along here.
Because he stole a packet of batteries, ladies and gentlemen. Everything else was true. If you're still in it, come and stand here, please. Because we want to see you. You have already won a Stella Artois key ring. Yay! Who's still in it? Is it just the three of you? A drunk man who was able to put his hands on his bottom or his head.
Are you still in it?
Those two are still in it. Are you still in it? You can pretend if you want. We haven't been checking. Right, it's you three. Well, that's it. We're through to the exciting end game with only three gentlemen. So will you come back up on the stage? All men in the final girls' eliminations. All men. Proving once and for all that men are the biggest twats, after all. Up you come on stage. It's quite a long way. But everyone else has long legs apart from me. Come on, I'll help you up. Oh, I'm sexy. And that is the best sex I've had on this tour from 30 gigs. That is so sad. Right, pardon?
You never wonder why.
No, I know why. Because the only girls who fancy me are people like you. And even I can't go that far. Right, what's your name, Mr. Drunk Man, who has his red nose on?
Carl.
Carl, are you sure? You seemed a little uncertain. It's going to be fun watching him in this part, as usual. What's your name?
Matt.
He's stone cold sober. He's going to win. And your name? Are you Matt's twin brother?
Ollie.
Ollie. Doesn't prove you're not Matt's twin brother by being called Ollie. They're very. Take the hat off. Take the hat off. No. Are you bald? Are you bald? I'll take it off because I think you look so the same. Okay, don't take it off. He is bald. Fair enough. Okay, here we go. Right, you've seen, this is the end game. You've seen the Generation Game, haven't you, with Bruce Forsyth, Carl? Do you remember? And with Larry Grayson, if you're a bit older. Or with Bruce Forsyth, if you're a bit older again. That's the way it works. Jim Davidson, if you're 1 week old, you may have seen it with him. They get an expert to do a thing. Then they get ordinary members of the public, who usually aren't quite as drunk as you, Carl, to recreate the thing that the expert did. Now, earlier on, we saw Mr. Peter Bainham, the Welsh Bon Viveur, make a sherry trifle within the boundaries of his mouth. I hope you're watching closely, guys, because you are going to have to recreate it. We're going to have Ollie first, because he wouldn't take off his hat, and we can't use him with the hat. So we're going to the Stuart Lee soundproof booth here. Take your glasses off. There we go. Have you seen Pulp Fiction yet, guys? Release the gimp. In fact... there, it's even more like Pulp Fiction now. I wouldn't like to be responsible for the death, even of Carl. As they say, there's a whole bag of those you can have, mate. Right, okay, Ollie, you have the time it takes Peter Bainham, the Welsh Bon Viveur, to revolve, to make the sherry trifle in your mouth. Come to the table, Ollie. Starting, give him encouragement, everyone, and you're the judges.
Starting
now, go, Ollie.
And Pete's revolving. 90 degrees. 180. Boom.
It's a digestive
pitch. 270 degrees. 360, he's done it.
Whoa! End there, well done, Ollie. A lot of sherry. And that's... he forgot the jam. Well, you're the judges, you have to look out. Jam, it's too late for jam now.
I've gone about the jam, because the others have realised they have to put jam in it.
You've given them a valuable clue. Luckily, they're in our soundproof booth, and here we come with Ollie's... Oh, come on, you've had worse things in your mouth than that, mate, let's face it. And I've forgotten your name, but it was very interesting, whatever it was. Remind me? Matt, of course, how could I forget? You have the time it takes Peter Bainham to revolve the other way to make the sherry trifle in your mouth, Matt. Take your chewing gum out. You cool motherfucker. Right, here we go. Let's go, starting now. Prizes for being a sick bastard, unnecessarily. Well done, Matt.
He spat it out.
Bear that in mind with your judging, please. And finally, my personal favourite, Carl. As if he required any more beer, we'll now attempt to make... Don't go mad, Carl. Be a good boy. We'll try to make the sherry trifle in your mouth. Bread, biscuit, jam, sherry trifle. Starting from now. Time takes Pete to revolve. Starting now. If you drink that cup, they both spat out and you've won.
And Pete's revolve. 90.
Quickly, go on.
180.
It's good. It's good.
217.
Oh, hurry up. Come on. I think so. It's yours to keep. No one can take that away from you, Carl. Whatever happens, you've won that. Steady. Steady. On him, if you like. You've already won the sherry. That's yours to take away. You can have that. Now, it's up to you to decide if you think the two geeks who are tall have won. No, I don't. If you think that's Ollie. I'm joking, Matt. It's a joke. Enjoy yourself. You're a lovely looking lad. I wish I was as tall as you. But still had my rugged good looks. Right, okay, Ollie. If you think Ollie was the best, applaud and cheer for him now. This Ollie is what it's like being a stand-up comedian for most of the time. If you think Matt was the best, applaud and cheer now. You are equal worst, you two. Now, if you think that Carl was the best for getting drunk, applaud and cheer now. Okay, Carl, you're a lucky man. Put this down where you don't get a thing. Wipe your hands on this bread, because you've got a lot to wear on your t-shirt. Or on Pete, you can wipe your hands on Pete. Let's go through one by one, Stuart Lee, what Carl has won. Come and get your hands. It's like Cracker Jack. If you drop anything, you don't get it. A crate of Newcastle Brown Ale. A lot. Are we going to give him the rest of the cans as well? A Newcastle Brown Ale, t-shirt. A Last Temptation of Elvis. And The Creation. Creation CD. What else? A bum bag with West of Yorkshire Pizza written on it. What else? A pair of comedy antlers for the Christmas season. A hilarious Santa Claus hat to wear. What else? Some juggling balls of some kind. Hooray! And some eight key rings from Sarah Clark. And no one goes away empty-handed. Anything else? No one goes, go and help yourself with some stuff. Have a couple of beers as well, because you've got enough there to keep going. Help yourself to those guys. Well done. Big round of applause for everyone. We'll leave this box here. And if you need any of those things you saw, you need a key ring. There's some good key rings, and some t-shirts probably. They're in the box there. Just after we've gone off, come and get them if you want them. Have anything you want. Thanks, I hope you've enjoyed it very much. You all right, Carl? Can you get off the stage all right? Can someone give him a chip? Put your chair there, so all right, very careful. We don't want to have a death. Very careful, it's all right. We'll pick it all up here. There's a step there. All right, hopping down. Whoa! And Carl's going to have a lot of friends tonight. Party back in his room, wherever that is. Okay, I hope you've enjoyed it. That's the end of our wonderful tour. Oh, thank the Lord. If I never see a student again, it'll be too soon. I'm joking.
Right.
I'm joking. Oh dear, we've blown it there. We won't be soon enough because I love you all. But if you're interested, we're doing another series of our Radio 1 show in January, starting January the 9th at 9 o'clock, Monday, January the 9th. Plus, we have our own television series called Fist of Fun starting in the spring on BBC Two. If that goes well, we'll never be back again, obviously. Dream on.
If it goes badly, we'll be back here doing something similar in about November next
year. Probably the same jokes, holding up to you drunk. Thanks a lot. I had a great time. Thank you very much. Bye.